Good evening.
Good
evening. I think one of the most straightforward of Dogen's talks one that I like to refer to now and then. Its title is The Sound of the Valley, Color of the Mountains. And the story within the talk that Dogen says, there was a layman called Sotoba, who was very famous as an essayist. He had a profound understanding of the ocean of Buddhism and a high level of spiritual attainment. Once when he was on the way to visit Mount Ro, he was enlightened to the Buddhist truth by hearing the sound of a stream in a mountain valley, and he composed this verse. The sound of the valley stream is his great tongue. The colors of the mountains are his pure body. In the night, I have heard the 84,000 hymns, but how to tell people the next day? And Dogen then later on says, Sotoba's insight enabled him to receive enlightenment when he heard the valley stream. And his example is very edifying. It is a pity that from ancient times up to the present, there are people who do not realize that the universe is proclaiming the actual body of Buddha. These people are miserable. What do they see when they look at a mountain? What do they hear when they listen to a valley stream? Do they hear only one sound of or the 84,000 hymns? It is regrettable that many only appreciate the superficial aspects of sound and color. So here is the heart of Buddhist understanding. This is the core of Buddhist teaching. And Buddhist teaching and Buddhist experience, like Sotoba had, teaching and experience are the same. The experience that we have is the teaching. In other words, the truth is expressed by everything, both animate and inanimate. In other words, what Dogen is trying to tell us is that we can see and hear our life and the meaning of life in all things. But we have to see and hear without obstacles and without illusions, which also basically means without having vanity or pride. This is where obstacles and illusions come in. Without vanity and without pride. So today, of course, our world is very much different than the Tang Dynasty in China, isn't it? Today, we no longer live our everyday life close to nature. We have And so therefore we have less opportunity to be close to the natural world and less opportunity to reflect and, you know, be enlightened by oneness. So the story of Sotoba, his mind opened up when he was close to nature. And he spoke about the sound of the valley stream. Today we don't have so many opportunities. We have fewer opportunities to have nature help us become enlightened by glimpsing oneness. So instead of valley streams and high mountains, we have tall concrete buildings. We have noise and we have pollution, and we have a very, very fast life which brings many distractions. But still, even though our world is different than in 10th century or 8th century, if we practice and we maintain our awareness and we keep our attention, the natural world can show us the truth. Our true nature, what is called a Buddha nature, our true nature is like flowing water, like those streams of Sotoba. Infinite. Flowing, infinite flowing river. Our true nature is like that. Goes on and on continuously. And our life is like that. And just like the flowing river, our capacity for compassion and our compassion for giving is infinite. It's never ending. In other words, if we live our life without illusion and without vanity, there is no barrier, no inherent barrier to what we can give. None. And when we let go of our own personal concerns, we can feel this power immediately and very naturally. So many of you have been to Tassajara. Some of you haven't had the opportunity yet, and I'm hoping someday you can go for at least a short time. Tassajara, deep in the mountains, and features of a valley stream, like in the story we read. At Tassajara, you can experience the life of the flowing stream. And it's especially true at a certain spot down the stream that's called the Narrows. Tassajara Creek never stops. And as it flows along, it shapes itself to the stones and the rocks that it encounters. And you can watch the Tassajara Creek flow for hours without becoming bored. And if you've been to Tassajara, you know, you understand this. When I look at the Tassajara stream, the creek, it reminds me of something kind of mystical. In some places, it is very fast and speedy and shallow and has a big sound. And at other places, it is very quiet and deep and slow. But it's always moving and it's always changing shape. And in it, we can see and hear something very fundamental. And if we watch it attentively, we can see the expression of ourself in it and feel a silent connection with it, this flowing stream. It's as if together, ourself and the stream, it's as if we know something very deep and we are flowing together, infinitely. So when you experience that creek at Tassajara, it's not just some water moving from here to there. You feel there's much more than that. Now, you may go there and see it and come back and say, well, I didn't feel that. My life doesn't feel like that. My life doesn't feel that it is flowing freely. My life doesn't feel infinite and calm and beautiful like that creek. Instead, my life feels constrained and blocked. And sometimes that happens. When we feel that our life is stuck in a small place, dark and cold, like a stagnant pond without sunlight, not like a flowing river in the sun. And that stagnant feeling is not an expression of the truth of our life. But our understanding, you know, if we experience our life as not flowing and not calm, it's not permanent. We have to understand that this dark feeling is not permanent. It means, from the standpoint of the creek, it only means that there has been storm that has left debris. And so something needs to be cleaned up to let the river flow again unhindered. So if a big tree, if there's a storm and a big tree falls in the river will be blocked. Or when huge boulders roll down the mountainside, they will block the world. But it's a temporary thing. Those things can be moved. So storms arise in our life continually. Storms arise in nature, and storms arise in our personal life, and there is no way to prevent them. No way to avoid storms. So the only thing we can do is be ready to accept them. Not try to devote our life to avoiding them, because they cannot be avoided. So our job in our life, what we will understand from our practice, is that our job, our main work in our life, is to let this river flow. To let ourselves be clear of debris. To be clear of the traces of a storm and to remove any blocks that arise. So we are always mindful of removing something extra that can block the flow. If we don't remove the debris, then there will be stagnation and no flow of life. So the continuous work of our life is not to let debris build up. That's all. But we shouldn't mistake the activity of clearing out of debris as something personal. We don't clear the debris in our life for our own personal liberation. If the river has debris, it gets blocked, and we clear it, this is not a personal river that we are allowing to flow again. It's not our own personal river. In daily life, in the daily life that we have, we can say we are sitting at the bank and we are building mud pies. Whatever work we do, whatever job we have, that's what we're doing. The river goes on and we're sitting on the side of the bank, we're just making mud pies that we exchange with each other. Or that we let return to the river. But the river is not a personal river. And our practice is not about making better mud pies or fixing personal problems. We do that as part of our daily life, but that is not our practice to make better mud castles. So our practice is to let our life be the flowing river. In other words, to be who we are, which is no other than the flowing river. So our practice is knowing the infinite flowing nature of ourself, and to see our nature, our true nature expressed in our life. So in the Dogen story, he's really telling us that the flowing river is the activity of Buddha, and in the same way, our life is the activity of Buddha. So we don't clear debris just for our own benefit. When we practice Zazen with a mind free of debris, we and the rest of the world exist together as one whole river, one whole flowing being. And with this understanding, we no longer worry about the river being personal. And we no longer worry about clinging to mud pies that we make by the side of the river. So the flowing being of one whole river, there's a missing source. There's a source to the flowing, river, but there's no need for us to paddle furiously upstream to search for the source of this flowing river. no need. We don't need to find the source of the river so that we can put a stake in the ground or plant a flag and say, I've been here. To see and hear the flowing river just as it is to know the source in a very wise and deep way. That's all we need to know about the source of the river and the source of who we are and what our life is. We don't need to take a picture of it or find a postcard or a, what do you call it? And many people overlook this point. I have to get to the source of it. And then they spend their life searching for what cannot be found. And they overlook the activity of the truth itself. This is what Dogen is referring to when he says it's regrettable that very few understand. So we simply sit when we can, and we carry the practice with us in our activities, and let our life be the flowing river of existence. All that includes everything. And is the expression of infinite compassion and infinite activity. Our infinite giving nature. So through our practice, we ourselves are the source of the river, existing everywhere. And we cannot search for it beyond where we are in the moment. So when we sit zazen, we start to understand the meaning of removing debris. So that we can appreciate who we are in a very, very large sense. This man, Sotoba, Dogen said he was enlightened by the sound of the distant river in the valley. And it happened because he had removed all the debris from his mind. Does anyone have a question? Yes. Very famous.
So we have that as a reminder for us.
Yes, please.
A lot of what you said tonight made me think of, I guess it was last week's talk about no traces, and the idea of removing debris situations in life and fears and looking back, they're all very relative to my own personal river. So when you said the idea that getting up in the morning and clearing the river was not our own personal river, clearing, leaving no traces, and it's not even my own river. It put my head into a spin. That's wow. Thank you.
Oh, Dave.
I was really struck, Les, by what you said about the way that today we don't find ourselves out in nature. We live in the cities, we drive on the freeways, and it's such a treasure to actually be able to be out in nature. I've always particularly cherished the time that I spend backpacking. And there was an experience that I had many years ago when I was backpacking in the Sierras that was really resonating in my mind as I listened to your beautiful talk tonight. I was up at this wonderful lake in Yosemite, Cathedral Lake, at the foot of Cathedral Peak. And as I walked around the lake and appreciated its beauty, I came to the outlet of the lake and there was this wonderful little stream coming out. So I thought, well, I'd better sit down and listen to what this stream has to say. And as I sat contemplating the stream, it was very beautiful, but there was something that wasn't quite right. And as I looked at the stream, I gradually realized that there was some debris in the stream. Somebody, probably some kids, had actually added some extra stones to the stream, probably to try to dam it up, to block it. As kids will do, that's just their playing. And I looked at that for a while, and I walked over and I took the extra stones out. It was quite clear which ones they were. I took them out and set them aside, and then went back, and now I can really listen to the stream. But I only did that when I was satisfied that I wasn't trying to improve the stream, I was just trying to return it to the state that it had been in before, and unfortunately it's filled with this debris. And that memory has always stuck with me. So thank you so much for your talk.
I bet you that the stream said thank you in its own way. Yes, Vanessa.
What Dave said just reminded me of another image of a memory from the creek in Tassajara and the rocks that were in there, which felt like some of the boulders there, that they'd been there for a very long time, that they weren't sort of temporary debris in that way, but they were things that were helping to direct the stream. And They were almost sort of caressed and softened by the water, the way that the water flowed over them, and they were so soft. The rocks, you could lie down on them, and they kind of, Bonnie remembers, and they were almost like pillows. And I felt that they had what might have initially been, a piece of debris or something blocking the way of the water. The water had actually caressed and softened and made part of its own flow. And you just reminded me of that image too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So, just a comment. I actually am in nature almost every day. I'm lucky that I'm kind of at a point in my life where I can mountain bike almost every day.
Yeah.
And on the weekend, the reason I never come on Saturday is because I like to surf. And I think that that oneness with nature is something that you can't. I mean, I've read John Muir's books and I've seen movies about nature, but you cannot learn about nature by reading about it or by watching a film. It's something that you have to experience. And for me, riding a bike on a trail, or particularly sitting in the ocean on a surfboard, is when I feel the greatest sense of oneness with everything. And I can understand now why so many people drop out of society and become surf bums. I mean, I have a couple of friends who had a very successful career in Silicon Valley, and they surf every day now. And I think that's the reason. They crave that feeling, that sense of oneness. So, thank you.
Where are they now, your friends?
I'm sorry?
Where are they now?
Well, they live in nice houses in Palo Alto, but they're surf bums. they think they're surf bums.
They think they're surf bums.
That's fine.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you. Yes, please.
I spend a lot of time in nature, as do all of us. But I also spent a lot of time with my computer and in virtual reality in a number of different places. It strikes me as I was listening that I can have that feeling if the experience is right, even in my living room with the right headset on. And I am interested in learning how to induce that feeling no matter where I am, because I am always in nature. Regardless of where I am, even if there's no mountain stream there. And for me, that is the challenge, and interested in learning how to do that more often, no matter where I am.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Do we have any announcements tonight? Oh, Dave.
This coming Saturday,